story, do it well in song. Yeah. God told Noah, go do something. God tells you to do something, go do it. Yeah. Might seem impossible, but it can get done. If God says it, he will help you accomplish it. Amen? Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Yes. We want to start a new series, When Seasons Change. When seasons change. Seasons change often. And when seasons change, God is also instructing us to pay attention. Because he might be up to something too.
Yeah.
So I want us to look at Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 16. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 16. You have it, say, I have it. Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. This is what he said. He said, forget the formal things. Somebody said, let it go.
Let it go.
Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Forget the former things, for I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Before last Sunday, we were all in wasteland, spiritual wasteland. But then Easter happened. And then everybody who was in darkness had a chance to move into the marvelous light.
Right.
Because of Easter, we have hope for tomorrow. Song said, God sent his son. Call him Jesus. He came. He lived and died. For me, for you. An empty grave. I went in that grave some years ago when I was in Israel. The empty grave is there to prove that our Savior lives. I want to invite you to stand as you're here. Well, let's sing that song of hope, and then we'll hear what God has to say. God's been his son. Sing to God.
God sent his son.
Call him Jesus. He came to love.
He came to love.
That's why we have hope.
I can face tomorrow.
Devil's a liar. Everything will be all right.
Cause Jesus lives.
Say something so somebody will hear from you, so somebody will get the prescription that they need for the problems in their life. We honor you, God. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. To the Lamb of God. I want to reflect briefly. When seasons change, some things have got to go. Some things have got to go. Four seasons of the year, my friends: summer, fall, winter, and spring. If you're thankful for spring, say, "Yes, I am." After what seemed like a prolonged winter season, although it was mild here in West Virginia, the spring had finally sprung. Might feel a little cool today, but spring had finally sprung. We've never had a year, though, without the changing of the season. Now, we all may have our favorite time of the year, but I suppose that if you had a year with just one season, I think we're all going to be pretty messed up. Now, even if you love to hibernate, if you just have winter for 12 months, I think that's going to be a little too much. So the seasons change. Somehow, they always change. So the next time you run into somebody who says, "I need proof there is a God," tell them, "Watch out for the seasons." Somehow they change every time. There must be a God somewhere. But change, my friends, is something we often struggle with in our lives. From time to time, we seem to have difficulty when seasons change. And when things are no longer the way they used to be. Somebody said the seven last words of the cross was the one Jesus spoke. But the seven last words of the church, y'all know the seven last words of the church? "We've always done it this way." Translation: I don't want this season to change. I like it the way it was. I know exactly what I'm doing. My friend is in charge of the team. I like our little potluck. Don't mess with what we're doing. But seasons have to change. James Taylor's song back in the 70s, I reflected on it. He said, "When you're down in trouble and you need a helping hand, and nothing, it's going right." He said, "Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I'll be there to brighten up even the darkest nights." He said, "You can call. Just call on my name. And you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, fall. He said, all you got to do is, and I'll be there. Yes, I will. I thought about the artist, and I thought about an awesome Savior. And I said, but there's some similarities here. See, in Psalm 50, the psalmist reflects what God is saying. He said, then call on me when you are in trouble, and then I'll rescue you. Anybody ever been in a tight spot, and God just stepped in the nick of time and rescued you? Isaiah, God speaks again. He said, before they call, I'll answer. And while they're still speaking, I'll hear. Jeremiah, God saying it a little differently, but he wants us to get it. He says in Jeremiah, he said, call on me, and I'll answer you, and I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So what that says is that even when seasons change, God is still the same. And whether it's winter, spring, summer, fall, you can call on the God who causes the seasons to change. He can help you in the winter. He can heal you in the summer. He can encourage you in the spring. He can lift your spirits in the fall. He's the God who's in charge of all. The seasons have to change, and we have a good friend in Jesus Christ. The changing of the season, my friend, says something about the God who created the seasons. You see, while God does not change, yet at times God initiates change. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said at times God initiates change. So some of that thing that got you a little antsy, a little unsure, uncertain, it might be God just nudging you. It's time to move on to the next level. It's time to move up to the next place. It's time to do a little more for me. Stop slacking. I want to do more with your life. God initiates change. Other times, God expects us to change. And God is able to move in the midst of change. If you're anxious about something, if you're uncertain about outcome, or unsure about what tomorrow is going to bring, I say to you, simply trust God. I confess, my friends, that I don't know everything about tomorrow. There are many things about tomorrow that I don't seem to understand. But this I know who holds tomorrow. And all I got to do is hold on to his hand. If he holds tomorrow, and he knows tomorrow, and he makes tomorrow, I just got to hang out with him. That's all I got to do. I got to hang out with him. And he will make sure that everything will be all right. For many of us here in the U.S., it's time for spring cleaning. Some people are excited about it. Other people are not looking forward to it. But spring cleaning is necessary because it causes you to stop, to look around, and see what's there. It also causes us to stop and ask the question, why is this still here? And am I using this? Is this still needed? It allows us to unclutter, but it also allows us to make adjustments so we enjoy the next season. Can I tell you something? When seasons change and people don't change, you get stuck in a rut. And then you come crying to God every Sunday. And God is saying, all you need to do is just move with me. The seasons changed, but you didn't. You are stuck in the same place. You're still thinking it's winter, but it's already spring. It's time for something new. It's time for something fresh. That's why I'm excited for my pastors, because they're going to do some fresh things, some new things in some new places, and the seasons have changed for them, and that's a great thing. What about you? Do you notice some signs of seasons changing? God always provides evidence. You just got to look for it, even if it's not what you expect. I was running my dog, and I just saw this stuff jumping across the road. Now, all winter, I didn't see anything jumping across the road. But it's springtime. And that frog had been hibernating during the winter. So I missed them. Now, I must confess, I'm not a fan of frogs. So when they're jumping over here, I go this way. But I noticed they're all over the place now. They're jumping and they're moving across the road because the seasons have changed. So if I were a Martian who just came to Earth and I just saw the frogs moving, I can predict that it's probably springtime. What are the signs of God moving in your life? What has he been saying? Who are the people that are whispering in your ear that you can sense that God is saying something to me? I need to pay attention and look for the evidence of a new season. Leaves are turning green again, getting fresh and starting to grow because the seasons have changed. The text I read to you talk about seasons changing. And when seasons change, some things got to go because they don't fit with the new season. I can't wear my winter coat in the middle of the spring. Folks will look at me funny. They'll say, "How fast are you?" It says in the text, "He who made a way to the sea, a path to the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcement together, and then they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." When seasons change, you got to let go of your fear. You got to let go of your fear. God is saying to Israel and God is saying to us that when seasons change and you run up against mighty waters and you run up against great waves, I'm still the God who brought you out of Egypt. The God who's helped you, the God who's provided for you, the God who grants traveling mercies, the God who heals your body, I'm still the same God. Now I want you to see something. When Israel was moving from Egypt's land to the promised land, they ran into the Red Sea. Now, if anybody has swum in the ocean and in the river, you know it's two different experiences. The river is usually placid and more predictable. The ocean is not. It's more wavy, and you can't seem to figure out sometimes when the waves are going to break. I want you to see what God is saying. God is saying, even though you might run into a mighty obstacle that looks like an ocean, I am going before you like he did for Israel. He says, I'm the God of the waters and the sea. The God who created a pathway. I said, but God, explain what that means. He is saying, I'll go before you and I'll move the water back and then I'll hold the water apart. So first he got to move it back so you get your confidence to take a few steps forward. And then when you get in the thick of things and then when things get really difficult and when you start second guessing yourself, he said, I will hold the waters back long enough until you get through. I'll create a path. Even though the water seemed insurmountable, I'm the God who created the water. I'll part the water, and the children of God can walk through. Now, some people are spiritually mature that will sprint through, that will get through the water in a jiffy. But some of us are struggling. We will stroll. God said, no big deal. I'll hold the water. I'll hold the water. You can take your time. I'll hold the water so you can get through because I'm the God who creates a path. Somebody give Jesus praise. Fear is the opposite of faith. And when we let go of fear, even when we're not sure, faith starts to grow. I want to say that again. When you let go of fear, even when you're not sure, faith starts to grow. Come on, Joshua. Joshua 10. All the Amorite kings came together, all five of them. They wanted to go and attack the Gibeonites. But the Gibeonites had made treaty with Joshua and the Israelites. So it was kind of like NATO, the NATO treaty. So they called Israel and said, Joshua, we're being attacked, and you help us. Joshua comes with all his armies, and they start to fight. The battle gets difficult. And in verse 12 about Joshua prayed to God and said, God, if you will hold the sun stand still, and moon move over the valley of Ajalon. What are you saying, Joshua? I'm saying to God, I need a little more time. I need a little more time. So if you can hold back tonight and give me strength to fight, then I'll be all right. You need to know that God can do that for you. Sometimes when things are really difficult and you are not sure when the solution's coming, God can hold back tonight. He can cause the night to wait so you have day to work this stuff out and figure it out, and so he can get the glory. But it won't work unless you have faith. Joshua had faith, and he prayed to God a prayer of faith. Listen, don't be afraid to cry out to God, my friends, and ask him to hold back your night. Ask him to give you strength for your fight. God can do that. And sometimes he may not part the waters. He said, well, Reverend, how are we going to get over? I can't swim. I got no motorboats. There are no naval vessels here to help me. Well, the God who parted the water one time, it's the same God who calmed the water another time. Sometimes he may not part the waters, but he would just calm the waters. The problem didn't go away yet, but it got a little more manageable. You start to feel a little more confident. He started to give you insight and wisdom of how to deal with your situation. He didn't do that great miraculous thing. He didn't part the water, but he just calmed the water so you can come back the next day, and so you can try again, so you don't give up on your family, so you don't turn your back on your friends. He will calm the water long enough so you can feel like going back to the water, because the water is a place of life. How many people are praying for a calmness in that spirit? Calmness, calmness, calmness. Let go of the fear. Tell your neighbor, let it go. It says in verse 18, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I think when the seasons change, not only should we let go of our fear, but we ought to let go of our yearning for yesterday. Our yearning for yesterday. You know, yearning is a feeling of intense longing for something. And I believe, my friends, as the seasons change in our lives, God does not want us to live our lives looking backward. He wants us to keep looking forward and moving forward. Look at your neighbor and say, let's go. He wants us to keep looking forward and moving forward. And if you keep looking forward and moving forward, you're on to something. The song we sing in the church, the Onward Christian Soldier, that's a song of encouragement for the child of God to move forward, to let go of fear, and to stop looking back, but keep trusting God. He said to Israel, and he's saying to us, forget the former things. But what are you saying, God? What are the former things? All of the stuff that was in your yesterday that didn't help you, and even some things that were good yesterday, their time have expired. Some things are only good for a season in your life. Stop talking about that last relationship. Start focusing on this now relationship. Stop comparing that last job to this job. It's kind of different. Stop talking about your old school. Your coach always started you on the team. Well, work hard in the new school and see if you can find a place on the team. God is saying, stop doing this. You can't move forward if you're always looking backwards. Backwards. Oh, Oh, man. I like it when Pastor Ginger used to lead the praise and worship. Backwards. Pastor Tommy ain't here no more. Who's going to do the multimedia? Oh, he used to do some great graphics. Forward. Somebody said forward. He said, forget the former things. Every time God gives you instruction, he's a setup for something. Do not dwell on the past. Come on, Israel. God said, I'll move you from Egypt's land to the promised land, from slavery to freedom. Israel, like, yeah, come on, God, do it. God said, now follow me. Start moving. Chapter 14 of Exodus. Right into the first obstacle. The God who turned water to blood. The God who demonstrated his mighty power through the plagues. All of a sudden, they're questioning that God. Isn't that how we are sometimes? He healed you last time, but this time the doctor said, oh, I need you to come back. And you don't even eat for 2 days because you're worrying. But the same God who healed you the last time would travel to the hospital with you this time. And they started complaining. Why do you bring us here to die? Numbers 21, they're complaining again. We had good food back there. Filet mignon, now we just get the manna every day. This old dry bird, every day we get the same thing. But sometimes God is going to give us the same thing so he can prepare us for the next thing. He wants to know how long we can stay steady with the same thing so he can ready us for the next thing. And if you can't handle the same thing, he might not promote you for the next. Let go of your yearning for yesterday. Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. You're a righteous man. Get your family out. I want to save you and your family. Lot goes to his son-in-law and says, hey, y'all, let's go. They thought he was joking. They liked it where they were. Hanging out, doing what the big and bad enough to do. Lot grabbed his two daughters and said, girls, your husband ain't coming, but you better come. Stuff is going to happen down here. Let's go. They started moving. Said to the wife, he said, wife, let's roll. And then the angel said, when you are going, don't look back. Don't look back. I dug into that a little deeper because I wanted to find what's so bad about looking back. I mean, after all, the girl was going. She was leaving the place. What's wrong with just saying bye? Ooh, look at that. I ain't going to see that no more. What's wrong with that? The Hebrew for look back means more than just a glance over your shoulder. It means to regard. It means to consider. It means to pay attention to. If you pay attention to something long enough, the devil will suck you right back into it. And the next thing you know, you're back to the same place you used to be. When you quit something, you got to say, gone. Done. I'm not looking back. I don't want to get that old appetite up in my spirit, because when you look back, the next thing you will start to go back, and then you're in the same place you used to be. So you got to let it go. God, take away my appetite for all that Bud Light I used to drink. Take away my appetite for all the Benson 1000 I used to smoke. Take away my appetite for shooting up stuff in my arm. Take away my appetite for cheating on my wife and rolling over the bed. Take away my appetite. I don't want to live in yesterday. I want to be moving forward without looking backward. I let go of the yearnings of yesterday. Because unless you do that, you are not prepared for tomorrow. And while the future might be uncertain, the future can also be exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. That can bring a little uneasiness, but that can also produce some excitement. Think about Christmas gifts. When you don't know what's in there, and you're looking at the box trying to figure it out. What is that? Maybe a sweater? Box too thin. See? The excitement. And then you just want to open it so you see what's in it. God said, if you forget the former things, if you let go of your yearning now that the season is changing, if you say bye to yesterday and embrace today and anticipate a better tomorrow, I'll hook you up real good and I'll blow your mind, because your eyes have not seen, neither have your ears heard, neither have it occurred into the hearts of people what God has in store. You cannot imagine what God is able to do for his people in a new season. New season. Somebody said new season. And then finally, he said, verse 19, he said, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Finally, my friends, I think we need to let go of those old spiritual eyeglasses. They ain't working too well. See, when I was younger, I used to grab the smallest thing that you would need a microscope to see. I just pick it up and read it. I didn't get older, but the years passed. The years went by. And then every now and then I found myself grabbing or reading glasses. But then lately I noticed that that reading glass don't read too well. And I started thinking about what's wrong. This is what the doctor said I needed. And then I talked to someone I knew a little better. Said, oh, you got to go back and check them eyes. You may need something different now. And not a 1.5, but a 1.75. If you stick with a 1.5, you might not see all the 1.75 that God has in store for you. Somebody ought to change the spiritual lenses. God might already be rolling out the goodies, and you miss it because you're looking here and God is moving there. Because you're looking for him and God is sending you her. Because you're thinking this and God is doing that. You got to change your perception so you see what God is producing in your life. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And you haven't seen it yet. The former things we shouldn't dwell on, because then we get stuck in the yesterday and we miss the move of God today. And God is moving by his spirit. And God is still in the blessing business. There are two witnesses. God is still in the blessing business. He wants to do bigger and better things in our lives. He wants to show things we haven't seen before. But we have to put on new spiritual lenses. We have to study more. We have to connect more. We have to be a little more serious about growing in our faith, so that the things that were ordinarily unseen to us, now we see clearly and we recognize. Sometimes the blessing is right there. You say, God, hook me up with a brother. And the brother's coming to church every Sunday. And you just walking past the brother because you're thinking he ought to be 6'4". He ought to have a college degree. He ought to be well cut and all that stuff. Okay, I'm finished. Can I just talk to real people for 2 seconds? One of my mentees of whom I'm very proud, she was one of those who came up in my ministry in Baltimore, Dr. Stacy Cole Wilson. She's now our director for clergy excellence for the Baltimore Washington College. Stacy was a smart young lady, chemistry major, straight A students, knew no man, but every man chased her every Sunday.
Her rule was you had to come to church every Sunday. Every Sunday, almost we see a different brother. Yeah. Yeah. I said, who's that? This is my friend. I said, how many friends you got? She said, oh, they got to even talk to me. They got to come to church first. I said, well, Stacey, what are you looking at? All those brothers, I said, they look good, they're intelligent. She said, oh, they got to be 6-something. They had a college degree. It got to be this. It got to be that. It got to be this. I mean, she had prescription. She's a pretty lady, too. So I said, oh, okay. It's okay to give God your list. Give him a nice description of what you want. I said, but just be mindful that you might be looking for a Saul, and God's going to give you a Paul. One was tall and well-built. The other was short. With a little crooked nose. But one was playing with God. And the other was a real preacher for God. Well, Stacy Coleman is a pastor. I think I found the one. So I said, hey, girl, I'm excited for you. So I'm driving to the church because he wants me to see him. I'm looking for that well-built brother who's at the ballet 6 days a week working out. And I got there and I saw Wayne. Wayne's about my height, a little shorter. I mean, he was riding the machetes, but he wasn't all those things she described. But then I started getting to know a little better. Wayne was part of the praise and worship band for Benny Hinn in all of his Europe crusade. You talk about a brother who got a pure spirit, who loved God, who's a great praise and worship leader, and they're happy today with their two children. You might be asking for one thing, but if you put on new glasses, God might show you something different, and the different might be better for your life. Better for your life. New lenses so you see better what you really need to see and just omit those things that you don't need to see. If you don't wear your new spiritual lenses, my friend, when the seasons change, you don't change how you see things and how you perceive what God is doing. Not only could you get stuck in the rut, but you could mislead people. Old preacher in the church, and I'm finished. Old preacher didn't have instruments and gifted musicians like we are blessed with. So the way they sang every Sunday, the pastor would just say the words. Didn't have no screens, Pastor Tommy, so the pastor would just say the words, and they'd sing. So they had learned amazing grace. Yes, sir. Pastor came up on Sunday, looked down at his paper. Look at his paper. Look at his paper. He said, my eyes are dim. I cannot see. The people started singing. My eyes are dim. I cannot see. He said, I left my glasses home. He said, I do not mean for you to sing. I do not mean for you. To say. He said, oh Lord, I'm going home. Oh Lord, I'm going home. When the seasons change, my friend, let go of fear. Let go all the stuff that encumbers you. The yearnings of yesterday, and put on new spiritual glasses, and you see better, and you don't have to stay stuck or mislead people. God will clarify the next thing in your life. Stand that you're able in the presence of God.